kids like you, maker of heaven, Lord of the land and Lord of the sea, holy and true, faithful and able, Lord of all time and eternity.
Hi, God bless you. This is your brother Ferdinand, and we are continuing in the School of Divine Revelation. Praise the Lord. Thank you for participating and for sharing. And please connect on the WhatsApp platforms and feel free to share your experience in the school, what God is doing in your life, as well as to invite other persons to this life-changing study of God Himself. Don't forget, the people that do know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploits. The way the world is going now, you must be strong. You must be strong in the seasons of life. And the only way for that to happen is not by just going to church or by reading a few verses of the Bible, you know, in quiet time every day, 20, 30 minutes. Is to pursue systematically the knowledge of God. It's a desperate quest for God that can only be satisfied as you experience the Lord for yourself. The people that do know their God, they will be strong and they will do exploits. You are in that number in the name of Jesus. So we have been looking at Jesus, and we have established that Jesus Christ is the Son of the Almighty God. And Jesus is prehistoric. He's the author of history. He was not created. He was begotten, not made. That fact is very important. And we are told very clearly in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, he says, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." So Jesus is the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, because he and the Father are one. Hallelujah. So we are going to continue to look at Jesus, and we are seeing here that Jesus is all in all. He is all in all. In Colossians chapter 1, and I'm reading from verse 15, Colossians 1 from 15. I'm reading here from the Amplified Classic Translation. It says, "Now he is the exact likeness of the unseen God, the visible representation of the invisible." Jesus is the visible representation of the invisible God. This is very important. He is the firstborn over all creation. He is not first made, firstborn. In other words, he is born, begotten by the Father. He came from the Father. He came out from the Father. "For it was in him that all things..." As we are going to look at these scriptures, I want you to pay attention to the word all. Look at, "For he is the firstborn of all creation." Over all creation. "It was in him that all things were created, in heaven and on earth, things seen and things unseen, whether they are thrones or dominions, rulers or authorities. All things were created and exist through him, by his service, by his intervention, and they exist in him and for him. And he himself existed before all things, and in him all things consist, cohere, are held together." Do you see the quantity of all? Jesus is, you know, the firstborn over all creation. By him, all things were created. All things in heaven, on earth, all things seen, everything unseen, whether they are thrones or dominions, rulers and authorities, all things were created and exist through him. He is before all things. He existed before all things. In him, all things hold together. What it means is that outside Jesus, things scatter. It's only in him that life holds together. Marriages hold together. A lot of people are wondering at all the troubles we are facing in our churches, in our homes. The reason is because we are drifting from Christ. It is in Christ that your career will hold together. It's in him that your home will hold together. Your destiny, your future. I hear all of these prayers people are praying. All the enemies of my destiny, my destiny, my destiny. Your destiny is not going to thrive simply because you are shouting, my destiny, my destiny. It is as you grow in Christ that you are growing in destiny. That your destiny holds together. It cannot scatter. Your future is secured because you are in him in whom all things cohere. All things consist. They are held together. You see, outside Jesus, what you have is scattering. Is it entropy? They call it in physics or something. I don't know. There are forces that pull and scatter everything. But in Christ, everything holds together. Scientists have still not been able to tell us why atoms hold together. Because, you know, if you are to follow the natural laws of science, the atoms should scatter. But it is held together. It's held together. It's in Christ that life holds together. It's in Christ that marriages. There was a friend of mine and a much older friend of mine. You know, I've been blessed by elders as friends, and they have been such a tremendous, you know, influence upon my own life. And this servant of God made a statement that I never forgot. He said, it is only Jesus Christ that can restrain the madness of a couple if both of them are under his lordship. It's only Christ that can hold husband and wife together. I can say, husband, repent. Get down. Come, ask forgiveness from your wife. And say, come on, wife, submit to your husband. No, forgive. Stay together. It's only Christ. But where there is no restraining, you see the trouble we have in our homes now is that there is nothing to restrain a crazy husband and there is nothing to restrain a mad wife. Just imagine that a woman decides to go crazy, insult the husband, fight, deny him of all kinds of things, sex and food and what she should do as a married woman. Who is it that can bring her back together with her husband? It's only Christ. Assuming that a man is abusing his wife, beating her, cheating on her, and doing all kinds of terrible things, and not looking after his wife, and not treating her with proper respect, who is going to make him to repent? It's only Christ. It's in Christ that life holds together. You wonder why the world is scattering. It's because you're outside Christ. The shocking part is that those of us who are inside Christ are facing the same crisis because we are not growing in our knowledge of Christ. Jesus existed before all things. He is before me, before you, before your convenience, before your ambition, before your desires. Jesus is before our safety. He is more important than anything, than even our safety. Do you know that Jesus is more important than your safety? Because he's the source of your safety. We prioritize Jesus. Imagine that the disciples put their safety first. Would they put themselves in danger because of the gospel? But they knew that Jesus is before all things. He is before everything created, and he must have the preeminence. He must have first place. This is the Christ that is revealed in Scripture. And if we truly wish to honor him, we must put him first. He cannot come second. So listen now. He existed before all things. In him, all things hold together. Now listen to verse 18. Colossians 1, verse 18. He also is the head of his body, the church. See, the head of the church is not the man of God. He's not the papa. He's not the head of your denomination. The head of the church is Jesus Christ. And he's not an absentee head. He's not a temporary head. The fact that we can't see him does not make his headship and his lordship impractical. Jesus is the current head of the church, and he must be honored as such. But look at the church in Laodicea. Do you know that Jesus said, I stand at the door and I am knocking? He said, if anybody hears my voice and opens, and I'm going to come in. The head of the church was knocking on the door of the church in Laodicea. I believe that that's where we are now. The church, and they are worshiping inside the church, but the head of the church that they are worshiping is outside. We must put away all these things that have taken away our attention and return to Jesus. focusing on Jesus, studying Jesus, who he is, what he has done, growing in his likeness, being transformed by his spirit. Jesus, Jesus only is our message. That's what the church used to sing. But now, do you know what we are doing now in the church is that we are just using the name of Jesus to close our prayers and to command devils. And the thing is not working because we don't know the owner of the name. A name is as powerful as the owner of the name. And without a revelation of the owner of the name, a name will not accomplish much. Wow. But when we know him, that it was by him that every throne, authority, dominion, rulers, they were created by him. Principalities and powers, he is their head. When we know that and we say in the name of Jesus, we know that they have no option but to listen and to obey. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Don't be distracted by all these things going on around inside church and in the world. Don't be consumed by the events going on. Make Jesus the unbroken focus of your heart and your life. He is the head of the church. He is the firstborn from the dead. Remember, he is the firstborn over all creation. Now we are being told he is the firstborn from the dead. He is the beginning of everything. So that he alone in everything and in every respect might occupy the chief place, stand first, and be preeminent. See, the Bible is saying that Jesus alone, in everything and in every respect, he must occupy the chief place. He must stand first. He must be preeminent. Oh, boy. In many of our churches today, Jesus is not preeminent or he's not the chief in the chief place. The man of God on the poster, the face you see is the big man. When you come to church, it is the arrangement of man. Somebody is chasing. Look, there's a burden in the heart of God that the church must return to Jesus, to focusing on Jesus. You know, years ago, I came across a set of prophecies that came out of Azusa Street. Now, many of us will be familiar with the revival that broke out at Azusa Street in Los Angeles, 312 Azusa Street, I believe, in Los Angeles, in California, in the U.S., and, you know, God moved in that revival. But there were prophecies. Apart from the miracles and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, there were also prophetic utterances. And one of those prophecies had three components. He said, in the last days, three things will happen in the great Pentecostal movement. Now, this is the rebirth of Pentecostalism, but the prophecy was already calling it the great Pentecostal movement because it was out of Azusa Street that, you know, several denominations that ended up going to the uttermost ends of the earth. That's where they were born. You know, the Assemblies of God Church, the Foursquare, and several others emanated, were birthed. Even the Healing Revival and several other things, they came out of, they had their roots in Azusa Street. So he says, in the last days, three things will happen in the great Pentecostal movement. He said, number one, there will be an overemphasis on power. There will be an overemphasis on the gifts of the Holy Spirit rather than on the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Watch, that's the first part. There will be an overemphasis. In the last days, people are going to be emphasizing gifts of the Spirit, manifestations of the Spirit, rather than the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Number two, it says there will be an overemphasis on power rather than on righteousness. Watch the prophecy. He said there will be an overemphasis on the gifts of the Holy Spirit rather than on the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Number two, he said there will be an overemphasis on power rather than on righteousness. And listen to number three. He said number three, there will be an overemphasis on praise and worship to a God that they no longer pray to. There will be an overemphasis on praise and worship to a God that they no longer pray to. These things are happening today. There is an overemphasis on the gifts. People are seeing all kinds of things, revelations. I am not against the gifts of the Holy Spirit. By the grace of God, somewhere in Transforming Truth, we are going to study the gifts and manifestations of the Spirit. I see them in my own ministry by the grace of God. the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, you know, tongues, interpretation of tongues, diverse kinds of tongues, working of healings. I see those things in our ministry by the grace of God to the glory of Jesus. I was talking with one of our sisters from South Africa today, and she was telling me the testimony. One time we were ministering, you know, in one of the shanty towns on the outskirts of Cape Town. And there was this woman in this, you know, shack where they were trying to plant a new church, and I was speaking. And she was arthritic. You know, her hands looked like claws. And she was telling me, I didn't even remember the whole story because we finished praying and ministering and went away. And this lady came for prayer. We prayed for her. She said immediately there was no apparent manifestation. But the sister told me today, she's a pastor's wife. She too, she's a pastor. You know, and she told me that it was like the fig tree that Jesus cursed, and that, you know, some days later she saw this lady and the woman is healed and she's clapping her hands, and that she even saw her 2 to 3 years over a period of 2 to 3 years after that program, and after she was ministered to, and the woman is well. Was well the last time she saw her, over a period of 2 to 3 years from the time she received that miracle. We are not against the gifts and manifestations of the Spirit. And as a participant on Transforming Truth, if you have a need, please reach me, send a message. We will agree with you in prayer. But please listen, the overemphasis on the gifts of the Spirit, instead of emphasizing the Lordship of Jesus. Do you know that it is Jesus who is Lord that administers the gifts of the Spirit? See, there are, you know, all kinds of manifestations, the same, you know, diverse manifestations and administrations, but the same Lord. So it is the Lord of the church that administers the gifts and the operations of the Spirit. So when we neglect the Lordship of Jesus and we are focusing on the manifestations of the gifts, that's why you have the kind of Christians that we have today. People that they are enjoying the manifestations, but Jesus is not their master in the secret, in their heart. And they are doing manifestations of the Spirit with no integrity. Plenty charisma, but no transformation in their personal secret lives. I don't want that. Hallelujah. Then look at the second one. Overemphasis on power rather than on righteousness. You can see that. Overemphasis on praise and worship. Do you notice that there's a lot of praise and worship going on by people that have no prayer life? No closet secret life with the Master. But we are all singing praises, we are dancing, and praise and worship music has eclipsed other types of music in the church. Like the kind of songs that people will sing before in revival, convict people, bring people to repentance. All you hear now is just superficial praise and worship in many places. Of course, praise the Lord for good worship music. We also produce music, by the way. God gives me songs, so I'm not against good worship music. But the point I'm making here is that Jesus Christ must have the preeminence. He must be first. He is more important than anything and everything else because of who he is and because of the work that he has done. Verse 19 says, "For it has pleased the Father." Remember that Jesus is all in all. "It has pleased the Father that all the divine fullness," all the sum total of the divine perfection, powers and attributes, should dwell in Jesus permanently. He said it pleased the Father. The Father was happy that there would be all of God inside the human body in Christ. All the divine fullness. Listen to how the Amplified Bible put it. The sum total of the divine perfections, powers and attributes. Everything that makes God, God, is resident in Christ permanently. This is who Jesus is. And this is the one that paid our price. This is the one that crushed the devil. So you can see that he did all things well. This person is not a match for Satan. Satan is not a match for this person. They are not classmates. That's why when Jesus paid for our salvation, it was comprehensive redemption. The person that paid means that, imagine that somebody came to pay and the person is the richest person in the world. Is he going to leave a bill unpaid? Jesus paid for everything. He carried our sins. 1 Peter chapter 2, 24 said, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, we should live to righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. He bore our sicknesses, Matthew chapter 8, verse 17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bore our diseases. So he bore our sins, he bore our diseases. That's why we can be free from both of them. He bore our curses. For he has made him to be sin, who knew no sin. He bore our sins. Him who knew no sin, he made to be sin, you know, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. He bore our curses. Because Christ has become a curse for us, as it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree, so that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through faith. This is Jesus. He is the mighty one that paid for our salvation, and he is all in all. You are going to see this all over scripture. Everything was created by him. Everything in heaven, everything seen and unseen, all things we are created for him. Everything was made for him. Hallelujah. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, it tells us that the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him in bodily form. Everything God, for in him the whole fullness of deity, the Godhead, continues to dwell in bodily form, giving complete expression of the divine nature. Jesus is the head of all principalities and powers. You see that in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10. It says, and you are in him, made full, and having come to fullness of life in Christ, you too, you are filled with the Godhead. You see, because we are in Christ, we are filled with what fills Christ. Hi. Oh God, give us a revelation of these truths. Don't let these things just become scriptures, text in the Bible. Father, give us a revelation of our completeness in Christ, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And then he says, and he, Christ, is the head of all rule and authority, of every angelic principality or power. He's the head of all principalities and powers. So can you imagine that you are carrying the head of all principalities and powers, and you are afraid of principalities and powers, witches and wizards? It's because we don't know who we are carrying inside. Hallelujah. All things have been given to Jesus by the Father. You read this in Matthew 11, 27. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, Jesus said. In John chapter 5, chapter 3 and verse 35, John 3, 35, he said, the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hands. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, we are told that all the treasures of wisdom and understanding are hidden in Christ. All the treasures of wisdom and understanding. In him, all things hold together. We have seen that. In him, all things hold together. He's the preeminent one. He is the one that purchased everything by his blood. He bought all things. And then at the name of Jesus, all knees, every knee must bow. He is the only mediator between God and man. Do you see who Jesus is from these amazing, astounding scriptures? This is Jesus. All in all. All in all. From beginning till the end is there. Above everything else. Before everything else. Over everything else. Supreme authority. He has authority over... You know, people are looking for money instead of looking for Jesus, who has all things. Do you know that if you really believe that Jesus, the Father has given all things into the hand of Jesus, instead of looking for all things, you'll be looking for the one that has all things, the one that owns all things. Years ago, God said something to me. He said, you cannot put me first and come second and come up last. He said, you can't put me first and come up last. It's impossible. Because I am the owner of all things. If you make him first, why will he make you last? So you see, brothers and sisters, servants of the living God, let God return our hearts to the knowledge of Jesus, to the pursuit of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. And as we seek him, and as we get a new revelation of the Son of God, we will walk in authority. I'm telling you, when you mention the name of Jesus, you yourself will know that the enemy does not stand a chance. Satan himself will know that you know the name. And heaven will back it up, because Jesus is becoming as big in your heart as he is in heaven. Remember to pray that prayer. Lord Jesus, transfigure before my eyes. I want to see you on earth as you are seen in heaven, that I might walk in the light of who you are and in the light of what you have done, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, how we pray that you will reveal yourself more and more to us, that, Father, we will walk in the light of who you are continually, gazing on you, walking in your life, oh, carrying you, Lord, as we face life, walking in the victory that you purchased, in the name of Jesus. Blessed be your name, Lord, forever and ever. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for who you are, and thank you for what you have accomplished for us. Help us to walk in the light of your finished work. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The Lord bless you, servant of God, and please share these messages and help us to invite other persons. You see, I found out that truth does not spread itself. I mean, just like error, it's not Satan that is preaching the doctrine of devils. The Bible talks about the doctrines of devils, but you have never seen a demon preaching. His doctrines are preached by human beings. It is not error that spreads error. In the same way, it is truth does not spread itself. So those of us that love the truth, we must take responsibility to broadcast it and to get it out to as many as possible. Because in so doing, we are going to see a revival of truth that will transform lives and nations. Bye-bye. Of heaven,
Lord of the land and Lord of the sea.